he's ministering in other parts of the world, but we can't go. And so that's one of the reasons we're thankful for our missionary fund, so that we can be part of it. We can participate with him in those particular endeavors. And so he's going to speak to us tonight. As normally, when he comes to the, what do you want to do? We preach, or we give a, hey, what's going on? I said, very little what's going on, preach to us. We love your preaching. But tonight, I've asked him to do it a little differently, because he has shifted gears over the past few years as to what he's doing in his ministry. Instead of just being able to reach congregation or some people through his books, now he's reaching leaders of congregations and doing some things that are being a great help. So we want him to explain all that to us, so that we can kind of understand what we're involved in. At the close of the service, when you're finished, it's just to have a brief. And we're going to, if you came tonight able to give something, I'd like to send him off a little cash if he has something in his pocket to spend while he's traveling. So Brother David will be standing at the back with an offering plate, and we'll try to gather some cash tonight that he can take with him. And if you have that, he says, I don't have any cash, I'll have to check and give me a check. I'll do something with it. But cash is what you really need if you got into that, just to get to your next destination. And that would be a blessing, I know for sure. So, Brother Miles, come on up. You've got the pulpit. And right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And all I have
everything's working. Just talk, okay? Thank you.
Bless you.
Oops. Good evening, everyone. Are you glad to be here?
Amen.
Amen. Isn't this a good place to be on a Wednesday night?
Amen.
Amen. Hey, tell me, how many of you, before I get started, how many of you received the Wednesday word? Ah, lots of you. If you want to receive the Wednesday word, and I'll tell you more about it in a moment, but if you, can you just pass that around? People will pass as the person next. Just put your email address on there and we'll get it to you. Well, the Wednesday word is a very vital part of our ministry. And our ministry has, we've known you guys for quite a while. I don't know how many years, but I've done a lot of church planting in times past, evangelizing. But right now I'm working a lot in Asia. And in particular, South India, North India, and then up in Nepal. And in January, we're starting to operate in Myanmar. Have you heard of Myanmar?
Yes.
Burma. Ever hear of Adrianan Judson?
Yes.
Okay, we're working amongst descendants of converts of his. We just gave them 1,000 of these. Now, these are at the book table or whatever, so just as you come in. This is the English version. this is not in the Chin language. Okay, so if you want to get it, it's for a donation, whatever you want to donate. Okay? And otherwise, for those who don't like donations, it's $100 per copy. That was a joke! So, I'd like to tell you a little bit about what we're doing. Your church, by the way, has just been a tremendous help, tremendous support. And God's opening a wonderful amount of doors for us, especially in Asia. Now, there's doors opening in Africa, but I've not had peace to go through them. And we're getting lots of invitations from reputable people. But right now, it's Asia, especially India and Nepal, and now Myanmar. And I'm not quite sure how. Here, let me tell you how this whole thing started. A guy contacted me. Somebody had sent him the Wednesday word. This guy was a pastor in India. And he came along to one of our conferences. He traveled 2 days, or it might have been 3 days, by bus. India is huge, and the roads are not good. But he traveled just to be taught the gospel. Now, I hold these conferences.
And we go into an area, and I'll always have a key pastor working with us, and he brings in all his people, all the people he's working with, and we do a conference. These men, the only thing that these men have been taught is word of faith. Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, and that's what they know. That's all they know. Well, not now, but that's all they knew. So, and this guy came in, he had traveled this long distance, and we started supporting him as a pastor, and then he started teaching 60 pastors that he meets with. And he translates the Wednesday Word and teaches it to 60 pastors. And his brother does the same thing. His brother is in a different area, and he takes the Wednesday Word and translates it. And now, what's happened in Nepal, there's at least 300 or 400 pastors who are getting the Wednesday Word in their own language. I'll tell you a little bit about Nepal. Nepal's right up at the top of India, basically. It's a separate country from India. And it's a very strong Hindu country. And the Hindus, by the way, are not a peaceable people. Some of them are, but there's a fundamentalist Hindu which is appearing now and attacking Christians. Last year, at a conference I was speaking at, we were attacked. It was great. Now, I say it was great. It was great because we had about 150 men there. And they settled the attackers in a very kind way. But I felt quite safe. But these Hindus objected to us being there. India is their country. And the same thing is for Nepal. If I'm caught preaching the gospel in Nepal, 5 years automatic jail for conversion laws. So, please pray. But anyway, what happened? Okay, you ready for this? I'll tell you how we started ministering in Nepal. There was a man from not too far away from here, from Memphis. And he was out. He's a big hiker. You know these people who like to walk everywhere? Well, he decides to hike around the Himalayas. And when he's hiking around the Himalayas, he meets a pastor. And they begin to talk and they strike up a relationship. And this guy from Memphis, the hiker, he was also a reader of the Wednesday Word. So he started forwarding the Wednesday Word to this one guy in Nepal. Then this guy in Nepal, Daniel, Pastor Daniel, he contacted me and says, Barry is sending me the Wednesday Word. Could you just send it to me straight? And I said, of course. So he got the Wednesday Word. I sent him the Wednesday Word on a weekly basis. And then he saw in the Wednesday Word that we were coming to India to do a conference. And he said, could I come to that conference? I said, of course you can. So he came down from Nepal and joined us, and he actually went traveling on the road with us, and we had other meetings in different areas. And when we got through with it, he said, would you come to Nepal and preach? And I said, yes, of course. He said, we do not know anything about the finished work of Christ. Can you believe that? And this man is a godly man, untaught, uninstructed in the finished work, uninstructed in the gospel, uninstructed in the whole center of divine revelation. The center, by the way, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the center of the Bible. I hear there's some pastor, so-called pastor, I'll not mention his name, in Atlanta, and he says we need to divorce the Old Testament from the New Testament, because the Old Testament makes us look bad. You know, all that rash stuff. Who wants a God like this? This is supposed to be a Baptist pastor with a big church. My goodness. If we cut away the Old Testament, where's Christ? Paul says, I declare again unto you the gospel And then he says a few other things. He says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And that's the Old Testament. Amen. If we don't have the Old Testament, folks, we don't have anything. Amen. You don't have a basis for your gospel. The gospel is there in types and shadows and pictures, all pointing us to the Lamb who was to come. Abraham, remember him? Amen. He's going to take Isaac up the mountain. And Isaac looks around and says, is it going to be a sacrifice? Yeah. He says, where's the Lamb? You know, that question wasn't fully answered. Till one day, a hairy prophet stood out in the wilderness on the banks of the River Jordan, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Not a Lamb, the Lamb of God.
Hallelujah. We're allowed to say that in this church, are we, Pastor? Anyway, what's that guy? Anyway,
I don't know where I was, but... Jesus is the center of the Bible. We've been teaching our dear brothers, and now they translate the Wednesday Word and send it to hundreds of pastors. We also have a brother in China. I haven't been to China. Have no plans to go to China as yet, but he takes the Wednesday Word, translates it into Mandarin, and sends it out to 34,000 people.
Woo! Now, folks, I just want to tell you a few things like that because I want you to know that your investment is making this possible. We can't do it alone. We live by faith. We have no salary. You know, you say, how much do you earn a month? I don't know. So, I mean, I'm really not interested. I mean, I would be interested if we end in the street, but I've been living by faith since the 80s. We can trust him. Can't you trust him? We all need to trust. We all live by faith. And this church has really helped us get these things done. So we're reaching a tremendous amount of people.
I'll be, in God willing, in January over in Myanmar. I've been invited to go and plan out a leaders' conference for Myanmar. Now, they're having troubles. The Buddhists are persecuting them, and they're persecuting the Muslims. And then there are Muslims who are persecuting the Christians in Myanmar. So we're living in very strange days, beloved. And
I'm so thankful we have the internet, because every day I talk to pastors and I don't have to go to India. I don't have to go to Nepal. You know, and I mean, I have to go, but I don't have to go every day to get to talk to them. So anyway, we have, by the way.
Thank you for giving me time to speak about what we're doing, and we will get to the Word. In one of the states in India, it's called Karnataka. And there's a city there called Yadgir. And some years ago, we'd done a pastor's meeting, and one pastor came to us and said, you know, well, we had been working with him, but we knew him sort of, but he said, you know what's really on my heart? There are orphan children sleeping on the streets here, living in buses and scavenging for food. He says, I have a burden to do something. So we said, well, we don't have a lot, but we'll help. You get going and we'll send what we can. We have now built an orphanage and just completed a second floor with 30 children. And a number of widows we take care of as well, but 30 boys. And they are, I mean, literally, we have found them sleeping in buses. Like the older brother of six being the defender of his brother of four. And we educate them. This is what God can do. We educate them. We send them to an English-speaking school. We get them private English lessons from a tutor who was a Hindu lady who came in with very good English. We pay her. And you know what's happened? She's got saved. It's wonderful. She's got saved there. We get medical attention for them. We contract for all this. We clothe them, feed them, shelter them, educate them. That all started through contacts who read the Wednesday Word. It's amazing. So I'm just thrilled, but really I'll say it again, I don't want to bore you, but thank you. Appreciate your giving to the Mission Fund. It's tremendous.
And all right, I'm going to give a go at preaching, but you know, would it be possible to have a glass of water? Nothing worse than a dry sermon, isn't that right? We don't want that. John's Gospel, the 3rd chapter. I want to speak about a very famous little word. A very famous little word. John 3:16. Everybody knows that, don't you?
I mean, we hardly have to, none of us probably have to turn there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for the gift of your Son. Make him large in our thinking and in our hearts tonight, we ask. Draw us to him by the power of your Spirit. We say hallelujah for the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. Amen. John 3:16. We're going to encounter a very, very powerful little word in this one little verse. It's not a big word. In fact, it's a one-syllable word. And I'm going to see if we can pick it out here. A one-syllable word, it's not a complicated word, no. But it is amazingly powerful, a powerful little word. It's a famous little word and a powerful little word. And I tell you, if this word gets a hold of you, you will literally never be the same again. Oh, you are a blessing, brother. A cup of cold water in the name of the Lord will not lose its reward. Hallelujah. Cheers. Now then, John 3:16 is part of a nocturnal interview that Jesus has with Nicodemus. It's the original Nick at Night story, okay? And so Nicodemus comes along and he begins to talk to Jesus and interviews him. And I love the way that Jesus brings him to the cross in John 3. Verse 14 and 15, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must I be lifted up. Well, what's he talking about? He's talking about the cross. Of course, he talks about other things. He talks about in John 3 and verse 7, you must be born again. Anybody here believe that? That you must be born again? I believe that. I believe, in fact, people say, well, are you a Christian? Yes. Are you a born-again Christian? Well, there isn't any other kind of Christian.
That's right.
If you're not born again, you're not a Christian. It's very simple. And I'm not trying to be rude or funny, but yeah. You must be born again. That's a powerful little word. And Christ must be lifted up.
I love it that the two of these things are in the same passage, the cross and regeneration. Well, is must the famous little word? Is that the famous little word? No, that's not the one. It's a wonderful word. In fact, you could preach a whole sermon on musts, the different musts of the Savior. So let's read it again, see if we can spot it.
For God so loved the world, he loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love, is that it? That's a good word, isn't it? Love. Oh, aren't you glad tonight that he loves you? Are you saved? Are you trusting in Christ? I'll guarantee you the reason that for that is not because you've been so good. It's because He loves you. He loves you. It's hard to believe, isn't it? I mean, I know He loves them over there, but no, it's personal. The Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me, says Paul. It's so personal. We've got to allow the gospel to become personal. God loves me. God so loved the world that He gave. He loved the world. It's a wonderful thing to know. You wake up in the morning and know that God loves you. What a wonderful truth. And you know, in the Bible, there's three words for love. There's eros, which is erotic love, and that's never used in the New Testament. There's phileo, which is friendship, a love which is to do with friendship. And then there's agapo. That speaks of divine love, not human love. And that's the word that's used here. God loves agapo. Loves a divine love. How strong must a divine love be? How strong is deity? How strong is the divinity? He's totally omnipotent. And with that strength of love, He loves you. Isn't He amazing? He's wonderful. So is love the word you're going to teach about? No. It's a different famous little word. It's a good word. Okay, so God so loved the world. Ah! Is it the word world? That's a great word. In the Greek language, it's cosmos, which means the ordered arrangement of things. And that this is one of the great meanings of that. It's not the only meaning, but we have an ordered world. Every one of us today... Oh, listen to me. Every one of us today experienced the love of God. I didn't feel it. Oh, if the love of God wasn't on you today, you would feel it. Did you know that the reason you are breathing and I am breathing is that God so loved the world? Yeah. You know, the seeds are planted, the rain comes and the crops grow. And you get to eat the food whether you love God or not. Because things are ordered. God so loved the ordered arrangement. But not only that. That word, world, is bigger than that. Just that. Bigger than that meaning. He loves the world. It's not just a national love. You see, in the days when Jesus came, the Jewish folks thought they were the only people that God loved, because He was in covenant with them. And so they were the only folks. And now they're being told, no, He loves the world. The Gentiles are loved too. Now, I don't believe this means every individual in the world. Okay? And I'll tell you why I don't believe that. It's an impossibility. Because if God gave Jesus for everybody, I believe the Bible tells me that some people are going to hell. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't much power in that atonement. Right. And I feel and believe with all my heart it is an insult to Jesus to say that He died for every individual.
Amen.
Just didn't happen, folks. I don't want to be controversial with you.
Amen.
But He did love the world. It's gone beyond, the gospel's gone beyond just the Jews. Now it's all nations out of every kindred, tongue and tribe and people. He's brought His own elect out. Isn't He wonderful? Yeah. The Jews and the Gentiles. You're not disqualified for being Italian. You're not disqualified for being American. He loves the world, the different nations. He even loves the Irish. How about that? Now that's a gracious God. So let's see. But I'd like to preach all night on world, but that's not the famous little word. So God's loved the world that he gave. There's a great word, isn't it? Gave. God is the giver.
Oh, what a giver he is. He's wonderful. He gives salvation. And do you know how much he charges for it? Nada! Nothing! He gives without charge! He gives without conditions! He gives his salvation freely.
Did you know he's not the taker? I was listening to radio today. We don't get that kind of Christian radio where I live in Spain. And I'm probably glad. I'm sorry. I heard so many preachers today. And, come on now, come on. Give him your heart. Give him your heart. What are you talking about giving your heart to get saved? He's the giver, not me. Folks, we need to understand grace, 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 and more grace. He gives salvation. But there's got to be a condition. I've got to do something. What is it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Where'd you get the faith? He gives it. Folks, we are totally dependent on him to save us. Totally dependent. There is no other name, none other name given amongst men, given under heaven amongst men, whereby we must be saved.
He is our hope. He's the giver. Isn't he wonderful? Yes. God gave us a Savior. And that Savior is our salvation.
I want to ask a very solemn question. Have you received the Savior that God has given? Have you put your trust in him? Have you gone to him as a sinner? Not deserving anything but judgment and death and destruction. Have you been to the cross?
Sure, well, we know all that. So, oh, no, we don't. Oh, life's very short. Do you love him? Do you trust him? He's the giver. He's wonderful. Have you received the gift? That's not hard. Just receive it. Receive what has been done. Receive that which has been accomplished. And Jesus hung upon the cross. He said, "It is accomplished. It is finished." What is finished? Redemption. It's been accomplished. Now the Holy Spirit is applying it. But we must move on. Gave, it's a wonderful word, but it's not the famous little word we're going to deal with. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. Ha! There we go. Is that it? Begotten. Well, listen, it's a wonderful word. Did you know what it means? Begotten, it means unique. Now, would you take an English lesson from an Irish man? When something is unique, it means it's unique. It means it's the only one of its kind. And if you have two identical things, you say, oh, they're both unique. No, they're not. Neither of them are unique. Because unique is the only one of its kind. Now, write that down. Tell me it next year. You'll get 10 marks if you get it right. Unique. Ah, he was unique, all right. There is unique. Born of a virgin. That's unique. Don't let any rascal run down the virgin birth to you. It's unique. It's God in action. Wow. Unique. Jesus is unique. Have you ever met anybody who's sinless? I haven't. I was listening again to the radio today. It's wonderful.
That's not wonderful what you hear, but I wish it was rain. Incredible. I'm hanging on to the steering wheel going at next to nothing, and the rain's belting in, and this preacher, he preaching away. I don't know where he's from. Somewhere near Atlanta, you know.
And anyway, he said Jesus took care of the sins of the past.
Amen.
And takes care of sins. If you're not sinning, if you're not a believer today, takes care of your sin today. But he don't take care of the sins of the future. I thought, what? He don't take care of the sins of the future. Why? Because there are no sins of the future. When you're saved, you don't sin. When Jesus is your Savior, you don't sin. I used to drink. I used to get drunk, but I don't do that anymore. No, a Christian never sins. Guess Jesus isn't unique. He's the only one I've ever encountered who never sinned. I tell you, I met a couple once who claimed that he was sinlessly perfect. Did you know the only problem there? His wife didn't think so. His wife wasn't impressed with that theology at all. Anyway, I want to be. What's our time frame? Because I could keep going, and we're okay. All right. Jesus is unique.
Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." He couldn't say that about me. Now he can say that about me. Don't get us wrong. In Christ, he's well pleased with me. In Christ. But in Miles McKee, he's not impressed. But he's impressed with Jesus.
This is my beloved Son. Jesus is unique. He's unique. He didn't say that about us. Didn't say that about you. Didn't say about me. Jesus was unique. He was sinless. And that means he could die in place of sinners. He could be the substitute for sinners. If he was a sinner, he couldn't be a substitute for sinners. Isn't he wonderful? And so he was the only one who could die for sinners. And he was the only one who could pull the whole thing off. And that's why he had to not only be a man, a sinless man, but had to be God. God manifest in the flesh. Did you know the one who saved you is God, the eternal God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. Oh, they're trying to push us away from believing that Jesus was God. Don't let any rascal fool you into that. He's entirely God. He's not just part of God, he's God. He's just not just part of man, he's man. Ah, unique. The only one who could conquer death now exists in a glorified body, and he is the only hope we have. But begotten, rich as it is, it's not the famous little word. So are you ready? Everybody ready for the famous little word? Or do you want to come back this time next week and we'll finish the message? No? We ready for it? God. So, there you are. So loved the world. Hallelujah. He's so loved. This is wonderful. Charles Spurgeon, he said, "Never has so much meaning been compressed into such a small state as in that famous little word." See, that's where I got the title for my message. Mr. Spurgeon. Glad to admit to it. A famous little word. In other words, God loved to such an astonishing and outstanding degree that he gave us Jesus. That's how much he loves you. He gave you Jesus. God's not mad at you. He gave you Jesus. God's not counting your sins against you. He gave you Jesus. By the way, I'm talking to believers. If you're not a believer, I can't say that for you. I could say this. It is appointed on the man once to die, and afterwards the judgment. You say, I have plenty of time for that. No, you do not. Did you know the first person in the Bible who died was a young person? Not an old person. Don't play games with God. But God so loved the world that He gave. What a heavenly little word is that word, so. I wonder, could we bring it down? Maybe Paul could help us to bring it down just a little bit. And you can take a note of this, or else turn to Ephesians 3, 18 to 19. Ephesians 3, 18 to 19. Or he says that we could. Okay, I'll just wait to see you turn in there. That we may be able to comprehend with all saints. What is it he wants us to comprehend? Four things: the breadth, the length, the depth, and the heights. And then it goes on to talk of the love of God. The breadth, the length, the depth, the height. Wouldn't you like to know that? How broad is His love? How broad is it? Hey, do you want, could I tell you how broad it is?
Look at the cross. Look at His body language. His arms are open wide. He's saying, come on to me. Come on to me. His elect will hear that voice. Come on to me. All ye that are weary, heavy laden.
He says, it's not a, he's not just like that there and saying,
come on to me.
That's the breadth. You see the breadth at the cross. Every tribe and nation, come to me, come to the cross. There's a level playing field at the cross. No one is rejected at the cross. Come on to Him. And if you're not saved listening to this message, trust Him tonight. Trust Him. Put your confidence in Him. There's no formula to this. But you're a sinner and you need mercy, so why don't you talk to Him about it and say, Lord, I am a sinner. I need your mercy. Would you save me? Yes. But what about the length of His love? The test of love is what length it will go to. I am reminded of the story of the Irishman. He wrote to his girlfriend and he says, I would climb. He texted her, not wrote to her anymore, texted her. He said, I would climb the highest mountains, I would walk across the wilderness just to be with you. I'd swim the deepest oceans just to be with you. And they'll be around tomorrow night at 7:30 to pick you up. That is, unless it's raining. I think so. Listen, we demonstrate our love by the length we'll go with that love. A love that will not sacrifice is no fitting kind of love at all. Do you want to listen to hear the length of God's love? We'll find it in Romans 5 and verses 6 to 8. For it says this, when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the godly. I said something wrong, didn't I? Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the what? The ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. Don't tell me there isn't a candidate.
Before I was saved, ungodly. It's my qualification. Without strength, without, I was ungodly.
He died for me. And so for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't say, get your act together and I'll die for you. Stop sinning and I'll die for you. Make yourself worthy and I'll die for you. And you say, amen, that's right. Well then, tell me this. Why do you try and why do we try to impress God with ourselves, with our own righteousness? He's impressed with Jesus. And I'm in Jesus, so he's impressed with me. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling.
Yeah. He so loved us. And he so loves us. It's wonderful. What about the depth of his love? The old hymn writer said it so well. He said, O love, thy bottomless abyss, my sins are swallowed up in thee. And Micah 7:19, he got it right. He said, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. And when we come to Christ Jesus and trust him as our Savior, we discover that all our sins, all of them, are forgiven. And they're forgotten. The God who can't forget anything won't reference your sin. You see, when you're thinking about the things that happened in your past, the failures, the times you lapsed morally, the things you said that were wrong and deceitful, and the old sins cast long shadows, don't be thinking for a moment that that's the Father doing that. Don't be thinking for a moment that that's the Holy Spirit doing that. Let me tell you, your sins, if you're a believer, I'm talking to the believer, your sins are covered and dealt with in the cross of Jesus Christ through the blood.
Amen.
Now we receive that in our conscience. And we're cleansed in our conscience. Yeah. God so loved, with a depth of love that begins at the throne of God and comes all the way down to the manger and then goes all the way to the cross. That's how he so loved us. Then there's the height of his love. God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. You know, son, and I'm a prophet. Did I ever tell you in any of my visits here that I'm a prophet? I'm a prophet. I know your future. Would you like to hear it? You are going to die. Unless Jesus comes back, we're all going to die. That's our future. But if I die tonight, you know what? I'm going to be in the presence of God. Oh, Brother McKee, you must be a very good man to be so sure.
You're joking. Me, a good man. If you knew me like I know me, you wouldn't sit here and listen to me. But if I knew you like you know you, I wouldn't even talk to you. No. Yeah, I've got eternal life because God so loved. Not because I deserve it, not because I work for it. It's God so loved that he gave. He gave what? Jesus. Jesus. Now you say, brother, you're all wrong. I believe that you find God in nature. You find the love of God in nature. You're joking me. I didn't see a lot of love today in that storm that hit us. Well, Leslie, you not didn't hit you here, but boy. Oh no, brother. Nature. I discover the love of God in nature. Well, you don't. If you wait long enough on nature, nature will turn on you. It'll be devastating. It'll be destructive. There'll be tornadoes. There'll be hurricanes. I've just come out of Florida. God so loved the world that he gave us nature? No. God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus. Amen. I can rest with that. Can you come to him and trust him and rest in that? Ah, yes. In him we see, in that Christ event, we see the breadth of God's love, the length of it, the depth and the height of it. And we see something of that famous little word, so. A lot of people like to exaggerate. Have you ever seen?
I have to confess. I love old Western movies, the powder burners. And oftentimes in those you see a medicine man and he's selling elixirs. And they go around, he's got a covered wagon and a platform there, and he's got an assistant. You've seen it, haven't you? You know, the covered wagon. Well, some fellas from Ireland got the idea that they could try that. This is way back in the 1930s, 1940s, and so they did. And the boy gets up on this platform, he's saying, "Come here to me, come here, my name is Dr. Dingy Gingy, whatever, you know, Dr. Murphy Dingy Dingy. Come here. I have got God's good news here in this bottle." I do. "This is a tonic. If you'll drink this, you'll age very, very slowly. It's not eternal life it gives you, but you'll age slowly. Sure, I've been drinking this every day for 300 years. Well, there's an old farmer, he's standing over here. He never met a more canny boy than an Irish farmer. And he goes over to the assistant, he says, come here to me now, young fella. "Do you see, your boss there says he's been drinking that every day for 300 years. Is that true?" He says, "Well, I wouldn't know about that because I've only worked for him for 120. Exaggeration! But you know where I have found not one bit of exaggeration? John 3:16, in that famous little word called so. God so loved. Now tomorrow morning you wake up, you may not feel loved, it doesn't matter, but you talk to yourself, you say, "God so, he so loves me that he gave me Jesus." Amen. You can say amen to that. And that is the gospel truth. Amen.
Right, a couple of things that I want to tell you. First of all, he's not so important of a man that after he's finished here, you have concern for your soul. If you want to talk to him, please feel free to do so.